Hello, everybody. Thanks a lot for joining in on Markets Monday. Every Monday, the team at HISA, we sit down and we give you guys a lot of insights regarding markets, how markets performed the previous week, and also just to give you guys a look on what's likely to happen with the coming week for investors across various markets. We always take a look on the local markets and also having a global aspect, looking at what economic activities, what kind of geopolitical events are likely to affect various markets across the globe, and most likely, what impact do they have on the local market? My name is Felix Ocheng, and I'm your host for this session. Today, I won't be joined by anyone. I know most of you have been, whenever we do these sessions, we always have extra guys joining in. Today, it's just me alone. So, pretty much of a challenge, but let's see through on what's likely to happen on market. Last week, beginning with the local space, last week was a very important week for markets because it's also a week when we expected a rebound across various stocks. Remember, a week earlier, there was a primary auction on the bond market for the IFB, and to that we saw the equity activity. Remember what we talked about last week is that during times when we have an IFB or whenever we have a bond offer, that's both an IFB, that's an infrastructure bond and a fixed rate bond, we usually have a lot of activity where guys tend to move onto the fixed income space and just, you know, guys are trying to get as much as they can to the bond. And during that week, we always have less activity on the equity space. And just right onto it, I think last week was a pretty interesting week. We saw the equity turnover of the Nairobi Securities Exchange go up 24.6% to 2.5 billion. That is up from 2.02 billion that the market had traded in a week earlier. This was primarily driven by a lot of investors coming in onto the exchange. Really interesting week when we saw a lot of guys coming in terms of turnover. We had we also had the top five companies really that usually dominate the exchange. We saw that post a little bit of about a 1% decline. Pretty much interesting as well because, you know, we're looking at angles where, and we spoke about this a week earlier, where the top few companies, the top five companies, the top five companies, where we have these guys dominating the trading activity on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, it becomes a very interesting bit because if you're looking at it in terms of security specific. Last week, we saw Safaricom dominate the market, having about 57.9. That's about 58% of the total market activity. Last week on the Nairobi Securities Exchange was actually backed by Safaricom. Still pretty much of I think, a risk. I know we've always mentioned that on this show. It's a little bit of a risk where we're seeing a lot in terms of investors who are trading on various stocks, you know, guys are specific. But also the good thing about last week is Safaricom actually gained in terms of price because the week earlier, Safcom had posted a week-on-week decline. And last week, Safaricom was up to close the week at 43 shillings and 20 cents. That is up from 42 shillings and 50 cents where the stock was trading at a week earlier. So we're seeing for a turnover of about the week turnover of about 2.5 billion, just as we had mentioned earlier, 2.51 billion. Safaricom is here and is trading about 1.4 billion. So that is where the risk really comes into, where you see more than half of the market activity on the market is being held by Safcom. But it's not only Safaricom that was onto the exchange because the top five companies that were trading on the market had about 89.62% of the total market activity. And we saw last week Equity Group was also coming in with about 14.6% of last week's total market activity, about 367.15 million was actually to Equity Group. KCB Group Holdings was, KCB Group PLC, sorry, was also in about 9.7%. And East African Breweries PLC came in as well to about 4.5%. Cooperative Bank seems to have also dropped a bit in terms of activity. A week earlier, Coop Bank had about 3.1% of the total market activity. And we also saw, in the next week, now that was last week, Kopbank was 2.7. One of the things that I think we saw last week was Bamburi, which dropped in terms of activity. A week earlier, Bamburi had traded, that is on week 36, Bamburi had traded about 135 million worth of stock. In the week that now that was last week, we saw slightly a little bit less of activity onto the exchange for Bamburi. And that's one thing, you know, we're definitely going to be touching and we'll tell you why. In terms of corporate activity, what happened onto the exchange, something that you should be aware about, I know you are actually aware about, was Longhorn. Longhorn Kenya PLC, Longhorn Publishers PLC, that's LKL, was up onto the exchange pretty much low on Friday when they released their financial results. The results were pretty interesting for investors because one of the things that we actually saw last week was that Longhorn bounced back to profitability with about 7.48 million in profit. Today, still on the market, I'm checking that through the Hisa app, is still pretty much of low activity for Longhorn because the stock is not among the gainers, not also on the losers. Longhorn is yet to trade still, but at the moment we're seeing the demand still outweighs the bids because, still outweighs the supply. Demand is at 45,000 shares with the highest demand being at, the highest bid being at 4 shillings. The supply side is 33,200 with the highest, the best supply is at 700 shares at 4 shillings and 10 cents. I don't know what your thought is, but probably we can take this discussion later on to the Hisa app on the discussion platform in app, and we can just have a discussion on about what's the likelihood of Longhorn really having a sustained profitability. And looks like CBC is actually good to some companies. We actually mentioned that today in the Hisa newsletter. In case you've missed it, please, you can go to the pin tweet or in any of our platforms on the Hisa app. You'll check on the newsletter and you can always subscribe so that every Monday you get a dose of awesome content directly coming into your mail. Longhorn is still pretty low on activity, but if you're looking onto the local space, if you'd want to look at it from another perspective, is EGADS PLC is up about 4.09%. It's the top gainer currently on the exchange. EGADS is, we're looking at EGADS, I think, as one of those companies that are coming in from a lot of volatility, so to speak, because, and you might wonder, if you check onto the volumes, it's only 100 shares that have moved. One of the things that we always tell investors before you trade onto the exchange is that don't be moved by this, the 10%, the 9% gains that you look, that you probably check onto a stock and you see it's moved up. There are a lot of fundamentals that usually, that you need to look at before you make that move. An example is the volumes. If you look at EGADS right now, for instance, it's up, but it's only 100 shares. It's a top gainer currently. 30 minutes into trading on the Nairobi Securities Exchange, EGADS is the top gainer onto the market with about 4.09%. The change in price is from 14 shillings to 14 shillings and 55 cents currently. But if you look at the order book for EGADS, you'd see that the split is pretty huge, because there's somebody who's bidding at for 500 shares at 12 shillings and 75 cents. And then at 14, we have the total supply at 15,300 with the best offer at 14 shillings flat. And so you see a lot of guys are probably looking on to exit. So if you're investing, you're not looking for, and you're not looking on to some of this stuff like the order book, for example, you probably look at it and you might put in your order to buy 100. And then the next thing you see is one of these guys who are offering would probably, could bring their offer down to maybe about 12 shillings and 75 cents where we have the bid at. And that would mean you're technically onto a loss. So as an investor, one of the things you can always look up to is some of the things like this, so that you don't have to go into losses or jump into losses whenever you make a trade onto the exchange. Another company that is actually moving headlines today is Carb Acid. Carb Acid is up about 3.3%, and currently Carb Acid is now trading at 11 shillings and 90 cents. I really think Carb Acid has really had a lot in terms of activity over the past few weeks, in terms over the past 1 year. From the bit of the acquisition of BOC Kenya, there's a lot that is actually happening. And now we're seeing Kaba Seed is up. And also remember, over the weekend, BOC Kenya had actually had a few changes onto the board. On Friday, the company announced that they were making a few changes to the board, where there was the resignation of Marius Kruger as a non-executive director. And also remember that currently what the new board, now the new appointment to the board to replace Kruger was Joseph Ramachala, which is currently, who is currently a director for Regions Emerging Africa. That's Oxygen Limited, Afrox Limited. He is currently being, has been appointed to the board and is taking over and is replacing Kruger to the company. So something that's very interesting here as well for investors onto the exchange. So we'll just be able to look at this. And also one of the things that I know a lot of investors are probably have been waiting for a very long time. And this is now up to the company, to the investors who've been investing onto the exchange, and also back to the transaction advisor and to the company, is that how far are we with the transactions for BOC and Kabasit? I know that's one thing that a lot of investors have probably been waiting for, and guys continue to look at it from. Other companies that are making the mover side, the gainer side is Sasini and Absa Bank. On the loser side, we have Khan General PLC. Khan General is down 4.9%, and boy oh boy, Khan General has really, really moved over time from prices of about 20 shillings all the way now to 31 shillings. I think the past few months, the past few weeks have really, really, really been good for the company. And so that's one thing that I know a lot of investors are also looking for on the market. Apart from Khan General, other companies as well is Home Africa. Yeah, the favorite Home Africa is still continuing to pose a decline. We also have Scan Group PLC, Scan Group, which is down to 5 shillings and 12 cents onto the exchange. On the movers list, the companies that are now moving markets this morning, we have smaller companies. I'd say that they're the small cap companies onto the market. We're seeing here Kenya Insurance has moved about 43,400 shares. Uchumi Supermarkets is also up 25,000. East African Breweries PLC has moved about 12,200 onto the market. I don't know your thoughts about Nairobi Business Ventures, because NBV has also moved 10,300 shares and it's already up about 2.2%. Over the past 6 months, we've been having a closer look onto Nairobi Business Ventures. And one of the things that I know a lot of us in here are probably looking at is the data that we always give out for NBV. For a very long time, throughout, I think for the past 8 months, that's the beginning of the year all the way to mid-August, NBV was the top gainer onto the exchange in terms of year-to-date performance. And it looks like NBV is on the verge of gaining it. Currently, NBV is second on the NSE in terms of year-to-date performance, and looks like there's a lot of optimism onto that stock for shareholders. For over the 1 year, so this is if you had NBV 1 year ago to date, then NBV is now up about 977% on the portfolio. Can you imagine that? But remember, there's a lot of stuff that really have pushed up to NBV. There's been a lot of corporate actions, some of the things that we have actually talked about over time. NBV's year-to-date performance, if you had NBV on the 1st of January, then NBV is up to your portfolio currently at about 50.9%, so about 51% onto the portfolio. And then also another thing, if you had NBV 3 months ago or if you had NBV 1 week ago, you're probably down about 5% onto the portfolio, respectively. So we'll still continue to monitor it. Remember our stock for the, not really a stock pick, but a stock that we were actually watching keenly was NBV because of just the way it picked in earlier into the year. But it's not only NBV that is moving stocks, that is moving eyebrows onto the market. I know you're probably wondering which companies are coming in or which companies are emerging as some of the top performers onto the exchange. If you look at a company, for example, if you look at Safaricom, let's pick on Safaricom because this is one of the largest companies. As we started this podcast, we actually told you Safaricom last week was the top gainer, was the top mover on the market, about 57% of the total market activity was on Safaricom. Safaricom is the number one stock traded on the NSE. That is over the past 3 months, and over the past, we can assure you, over the past 1 year, it's actually been Safaricom. So you're looking at this from a point of the data. If you compare this to NBV, over the past 1 year, Safcom is up 44.5%. In terms of year-to-date performance, if you had Safaricom at the beginning of the year onto your portfolio, it should be up 26.1%. So you better check that with your broker in case you're seeing anything that's less than that. If you had Safaricom 1 week ago, the price is up about 1.65% in terms of share price activity. So if you had this last week on Monday, if you had this last week, the previous week, if you're the last person to trade at it, if you were within the volume weighted average price for Safaricom, then your portfolio is supposed to be up about 1.6%. But in terms of monthly activity, Safcom is actually down 2.8%. And that's one thing that a lot of investors are probably looking at. Now, on the local space, I know all of us are looking on to moving on to the global space, but onto the local space, one thing that I know we'd probably be looking at is the index, how the index performed over the past week. So the all share index for the NSE was up about 2.6%. 2.61 points. That's an equivalent of about 1.5%. And the good thing, I know one of the analysts had actually challenged me to mention is the NSE 25 share index is back to 4,000 basis points. And the NSE it's way clear. It's actually trading. As at last week, the NSE 25 share index was at 4,015.08 basis points. So looks like a lot of activity as well for guys who... So this actually should signal a lot of positive activity. We've had, I don't know if we can call it a bull run, but we've seen a lot of activity in terms of the price gainers onto the market over the past few weeks. And that's one thing I know investors are probably looking for and investors will be looking at. Remember, one of the things that we mentioned earlier, we mentioned this in the previous sessions, and you can get the recordings for this podcast onto the HISA platform, is that the index is a very important, these are very important figures that every investor should actually be able to understand. An index basically shows you the overall mood of a certain select stocks or the overall market activity. If you look at the NSE 25 share index, for instance, this is a market cap weighted stock index that is giving you the performance of the top 25 companies on the exchange. If you look at the NSE all share index, it's technically giving you the performance of the top of all the companies that are listed onto the market. So at times you'd find that the companies that have the largest market cap would always outweigh the companies that have the smaller market cap on the exchange. And that is why at times you might see the small cap companies coming in all the way down, but still you'd see the all share index gaining, because in one way or another, the companies that have the largest market capitalizations have actually outweighed the type of the activity that we're seeing with the companies, with the small cap companies. The 20 share index was down. So the NSE 25 and the NSE all share index were up on the week, but the NSE 20 share index was down about 0.1%. So pretty marginal. If you look at it in from another angle, it's marginal, about 0.1%, closing the week at 2061.45 basis points. So as an investor, that's one thing that you're definitely supposed to be looking at any given point. Now, I know before we go global, we have to finish a little bit in terms of the regional market activity, just as usual. It's a norm that most of us have always wanted to see. Just if I'm investing in Kenya, what does that mean for investors who are probably investing in any other market out there? Is there any other market that is good and interesting for investors within the African region? What are you as an investor probably trying to look at? Now, over the past few weeks, we know that we've seen Ghana hold the fort for Africa in terms of the year-to-date performance for investors. And I know that's one thing that we've all probably been looking at. We've just wanted to see how is Kenya going to perform if you compare this to all other markets across the region. And I know that we've had that feeling. We've always wanted to have this move for the local space, for the local investors onto the exchange. And that's one thing I know you're probably looking at. I'm just getting to the figures shortly, but I also want to know your thoughts. You can share with me what markets do you always look at? What markets are probably, what markets are usually optimistic for you in Africa? Would you want to invest into various markets? An example is, a lot of guys have probably wanted to look at the investing in Rwanda, for instance, and also investing in Ghana, in Nigeria. And that's one thing that I know we are constantly looking at, and we really hope that very soon you'll be able to access some of these markets onto the HISA app as well. We are working on to giving you guys, I think we should be having Rwanda very soon. We really need to have Rwanda very soon. I'll be able to talk into guys, because a lot of guys have been interested just into what level and to what activities happening onto the Rwandan side. Remember earlier on when we mentioned that Rwanda is technically that the cool kid in Africa, and a lot is also happening for this. Now, in terms of performance for the various sub-Saharan African markets, we're still seeing Ghana still gaining, still being the top in terms of that list. Ghana has continued to gain, and in terms of weekly performance, in terms of year-to-date performance, Ghana is topping that chart with 43.3% in terms of year-to-date performance. That if you're looking at the all-share indices for these markets, the NSE is also still on the gain, but still a little bit lower if you're looking at it from Zambia. Zambia overtook us, I think about 3 weeks ago, and Zambia is now up 21.3%. The NSE in Kenya is coming in third at 20%. In terms of weekly gains, it's actually good, because apart from Botswana, we were second. Botswana came in and was up in terms of weekly gains about 1.63%, and Kenya was up, the all share index in Kenya was up about 1.45%. Tanzania seems to be a lot of activity happening in Tanzania, because Tanzania has been gaining over the past few weeks. I think this is one of the most interesting market that for me, I would really want to just look at. There's been a lot in terms of opening that market that we've seen President Samia Suluhu probably bring in. So can we say that Suluhu has been offering solutions to Tanzania? Because we're seeing Tanzania's, the Dar es Salaam share index is coming in hot at 9.5%. And Uganda, the only place where Uganda and I get to agree is the stock exchange. Still pretty much of less stocks that are traded onto the Ugandan Securities Exchange. And it's always just a challenge onto what can we have companies that are listed onto various markets actually move to. In Uganda, Equity Bank Limited, and we had Stanbic and KCB were some of the top gainers last week. Equity Bank Limited Uganda was up 1.94%. Stanbic Bank Uganda was also up 0.73%, and KCB was up 0.2%. Centam was down in Uganda. Uganda's Clay Limited was also down last week. And East African Breweries Limited was also down 0.02%. In case you're wondering, Uganda has very small listings. You can't compare it to the NSE. Uganda only has 17 companies listed onto the market. Of the 17 companies, remember, Uchumi Supermarkets Limited was actually suspended from trading on the Uganda Securities Exchange because the company did not meet certain requirements for the listing conditions that are actually set by the Capital Markets Authority Uganda and the Uganda Securities Exchange. So technically Uganda only has 16 companies. I don't know about you, but that's a very interesting bit. Lusaka, which has been coming in and has been looking at us, only has 29 listings. If you look at Ghana, which is another which is a market that has actually been holding up. Ghana has only 39 listings on their market. The countries that I think we should actually be looking at are countries like Nigeria. Nigeria has 155 listings onto the exchange. Nairobi Securities Exchange, kama kawaida, we have 66 listings. But of the 66 listings, remember, we have lots of companies. We have about 1, 2, 3. We have about 8 companies that over the past 2 years have been either suspended from trading or delisted. So we're looking at about 59 companies that are currently actively trading onto the Nairobi Securities Exchange. I don't know which other market you'd probably want us to get the figures for. That is something that you definitely want to let us know on the NISA app. And yeah, we're still looking at the African space. And at the end of the year, we'd probably be waiting and just checking on to which markets are likely to move the most in terms of activity onto the African space. On the global market space, I think there was a lot that really happened. Because first of all, in case you're wondering, we mentioned this today on the HISA newsletter about a Chinese company known as China Evergrande. And this is a company, Evergrande, yeah, I don't know, tomato. You know, the Evergrande company is a company that has been into the real estate sector for a very long time. But over the past few years, we've seen the company expand its portfolio to a lot of other opportunities. Let me call them opportunities, not other markets that we have seen over time. The first thing is the Chinese company moved into EV, that's electric vehicle production. And yes, they have been planning to bring a lot in terms of sedans, salon cars, and also just even trucks. Yeah, they actually have plans to have trucks, EV trucks. So you can imagine that. Property management, film and TV. They've also worked on a theme park. They're probably doing something like Disney was doing. They've looked onto life insurance. They own a hospital and a football club. The football club is actually called the Wanzhou Chinese Evergrande FC. So that is another thing you might want to look into. They've also done a lot in terms of food production, mineral water and baby formula. And now the company is staring at a level where the real estate sector that they had invested in is not going to pay. And the real estate wing, a lot of the dollar-denominated interest payments that are actually due this week on Thursday. They mentioned last week on Tuesday that they are most likely not to be able to pay that. And it really picks up for me, as much as a lot of guys would look at China, the Evergrande as one of those companies that have been moving into, you know, you're looking at it as a conglomerate. I think, remember in 2008, we had a lot in terms of junk bonds or subprime mortgage bonds that were actually trading on various markets and were being issued by various banks. And one of the things that caused, I think, the last financial crisis. And the question that I think I would pose out to you as an investor, if you're probably investing in markets like Hong Kong, or if you're probably looking at investing in any of the markets across China, if it's the Hong Kong, if you're looking on Shanghai, if you're looking on Shenzhen, what is probably working in for you? And what is that happening? How is that affecting the portfolio for guys who are investing in other markets like Tokyo, for example? How is this likely to affect the entire region? Remember, it's not only if Evergrande would come in down, then it would affect a lot of markets. Starting in from China itself, it would go into South Korea. Seoul, I think, would be one of those countries that might actually have a lot of impact on the market. Remember also last week, there were news about South Korea having to bring down about 63 Bitcoin exchanges because of a regulatory challenge that they're probably looking into. And also at the same time, we're also seeing other markets across Vietnam would be affected one way or another. And also Tokyo, which is a very interesting market, I think the second largest market globally. How would that really affect? I think that is one thing that we had mentioned. And it also comes at a time when Japan is also on the verge of getting a new prime minister, and we're just waiting for who's likely to take over the ruling party, which automatically becomes automatically puts the person to the head of as the head of government, and what policies are they likely to put for Japan? You know, we're likely going to look onto it, and we'll definitely keep you guys posted. But if you get anything, if you want to share anything, we're always open. Get to the HISA app, let us know what you think, and that's one thing that we will definitely be able to look into. In terms of markets, if you look onto the global indices, focusing on the US markets, because that is what we're about to give you guys. So in case you've been part of the beta program for trading on the US stocks, you might want to share as well your feedback, because we are planning to give to now finally give it up to you guys on the public. You guys can be able to trade as well and just access US markets. The S&P 500 index was up, was down 0.6%. Year-to-date performance for the S&P 500 is at 18%. The Nasdaq Composite Index was up about, is up about 16.7%, that is year-to-date, and was down 0.5%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down over the week about 0.1%, and is currently up year-to-date performance at about 13%. So we're still seeing a lot of, can we say, a lot of mixed reactions, because a week earlier, remember, these markets were trading on a more positive ground. And that's, I know that's one thing, as an investor, you'd probably be wondering what's really happening. But I think for the next week, investors would probably be watching whatever is happening in China. It's an interesting bit. Remember, China has nowadays come into a point where it's holding a lot in terms of, as much as a lot of people would look at it as a communist nation, guys would be worried. Remember when guys were thinking about COVID as a small, as a mini issue for the Chinese government, and it turned out to be a global pandemic. That is one thing that I know we're probably going to be looking at. So in case you're wondering, that's one thing. And one thing that is also coming in right now is that Taiwan is looking at taking China to the World Trade Organization, because there's a fruit they're fighting over. I don't know. This is one thing. This is a fruit you might just want to be interested in, because when I was growing up, I never knew it's called, let me just get it. It's called it's called sugar apple. I don't know. This is one thing, but we've seen a lot also in terms of a lot of reaction and a lot of I'd say bromance. So it's that where you don't have a single. There's a lot of negative reaction and positive reaction at the same time between China and Taiwan and also the US, which is also interesting. European shares, if you're looking at it as well on how global markets are performing this week, is shares across European markets likely to be lower. Currently, if you're looking at an overall index for the European shares, currently it's down about 1%. And I know that's one thing that we are probably looking at. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is currently down about 1.4%. And that's one thing that we'd probably be looking at, and we'll keep you guys posted as well on how that performance comes into play. In terms of commodities, the past week was a pretty interesting one for investors who are investing in, if you're probably investing in oil. Oil was up last week, but looks like that is not what's going to be this week. Currently, if you're looking onto oil prices, yes, this morning we saw the crude oil futures were up about 0.4%. That is if you're looking at the WTI and the Brent crude. But I know we'll also be just looking onto other precious commodities and also giving you guys an opportunity to access some of the futures, some of these, I'd say, commodity-backed futures. I know that's one thing that is also going to be the ETFs. And we'll just be able to look at it. Remember that the gold-backed ETF, that's the SPDR, will also be available on the HISA app. So that's one thing you might want to check out for. I guess that's it for us here at HISA. And remember, the recordings for this session, if you joined in late, the recordings for the previous session will all be available to you onto the HISA platform. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope to see you guys again on Wednesday as we talk about the Bulls, Bears and Whiskey event. And also on Friday, we have The Curious, which is a very interesting bit, a very interesting podcast for us here at HISA. But also, if you have any other thing, any comment, anything on markets, you might want to just reach out on the discussion platform on the HISA app. We're very active there. We'll definitely be able to let you, we'll be able to give you guys answers with something that, as long as we have the answer, we'll be able to reach out. But it's not only us, there are a lot of other market professionals and traders, even guys who are doing stuff like Forex, you know, able to give a little bit of advice. And remember that any advice that you get on the platform, please, that is not an investment recommendation. You have to ensure that you personally do your own research before you make that trade, before you make that buy trade, before you click on that button. Please ensure that you do your market research. And that's it for us today. Thank you all, and have a lovely weekend.